Well, today is Palm Passion Sunday, a Sunday that would have been incomprehensible to church people not that terribly long ago. And there are still some people that you'll run across who will talk about how we're obviously falling apart or doing who knows what because we don't have a dedicated Palm Sunday and then enter into the Passion more fully through Holy Week, in particular Good Friday. And I understand that, and I see that, but it's a different world we live in now than it was not that terribly long ago. For example, my office is moving from one building to another, and while it doesn't affect me, the move begins on Friday. Unheard of when I was a child. Everything came to a standstill on Good Friday, but that's just not the way it is anymore. And rather than somehow missing out on the realities of Good Friday, the committee in charge of the revised common lectionary, getting together with all kinds of like-minded people, not just Presbyterians, but all different denominations, said we'll combine these two and make Palm Passion Sunday. It doesn't mean you can't go to a Good Friday service. I strongly recommend it. I hope that I will. I have nothing to do with the moving of physical objects from one building to another, thank goodness, we've outsourced that. But we look at this day and it's kind of confusing. We have palm readings, we have the Liturgy of the Palms, where we hear about Jesus arriving in triumph into Jerusalem, being lauded and applauded by all, or at least by many. And then we have the Liturgy of the Passion, and we see the crucifixion, and we go, how can this makes sense? How can we jam these two together in one day? Well, it's a confusing Sunday, but if we're confused about this Sunday, it's the same kind of confusion we have in life. We look at these two portions of today, and we see the palm portion, and if we like, we can look at that as the truth of our salvation. The people who met Jesus and called him to be king and called him as king understood something fundamental about Jesus, that he was a king. Now, they misunderstood the kind of king he was. They assumed that he was going to come as a geopolitical king, as a ruler, and he was going to kick out the Romans at last and restore the nation of Israel as the kingdom of David. But they understood that. They understood who he was, even if they got some of the details wrong. And we look at that as the culmination, but then we move directly into the Passion. And if we want to look at the palm part of today as the truth of our salvation, then maybe the Passion part is the truth of our life. This is a wonderful world we live in, filled with wonderful things. Grandchildren, spring, athletic achievement, good books, great music, wonderful friends. There are all of these great things. But it's not all great. There's something fundamentally flawed about the world we live in, and we all know it. Even in the midst of the drive this morning and beautiful weather. It was colder than I would have chosen. Frost on my windshield. Some other people drove in ways I would prefer they wouldn't have. It didn't almost cause an accident. It was nothing like that, but they just did things I wish they wouldn't have, even in the midst of a beautiful drive. Grandchildren are wonderful. When they're teething, they're unhappy and you can't help them. The fallen world we live in has aspects that none of us would ever choose and none of us would ever want. These analogies, if you will, they break down because all analogies always do. We don't choose a fallen world, we're born into it. Jesus chose the way of the cross. But we look at this day, this jamming together of the palms and the celebration, and the passion and the horror of it. And rather than running away from the confusion, I think we need to embrace it and to think about it. Holy Week does all kinds of good things for us, and it's not just that it makes a long weekend for some people. Holy Week, if we're willing to enter into it at all, forces us to admit and acknowledge the fundamental brokenness of the world we live in, including us. By spending some time contemplating, pondering the sufferings of Christ, it brings us back to our own. Some of our suffering is self-induced, of course. We make poor choices. Accidents happen. Sometimes the things that are hardest for us to grapple with are those things that we look back on and we knew they were wrong as we chose to do them anyway. But if we live our lives in ignorance of those things, if we aggressively ignore them, we're ignoring part of who we are. And we can't ignore those things forever. Ask anyone who has even dipped their toe into the waters of psychology. And for that matter, look at your own experience. Those things that you try to avoid because they're painful never just go away, do they? So in this Holy Week, we have an opportunity to think carefully about what it means to live in this fallen world. A world that, when we go back to the beginning of the Bible, we see was created in perfection, but through human choice, through our choice, is no longer perfect. It has sin and evil and suffering in it. We have some responsibility there, and we can't duck that responsibility. In a very real sense, we are responsible for Christ's suffering, each of us and all of us. And it's painful to contemplate that, but it's not bad for us. It's good for us. When you're little, you think there probably couldn't be a worse name for a day than Good Friday. What's good about it? When you're little, at least when I was little, you had to dress up and go to church on a Friday. Your parents were strangely quiet for the rest of the day and they wanted you to be. And then as I got older and paid attention to what was being said, I said, how could this possibly be good? It's good for what comes out of it. Our reflection on our own mistakes, our own sin, our own evil is good, not because we rejoice in it, but because it reminds us of what Christ accomplished for us in relieving us and releasing us from that sin and evil. Palm Passion Sunday forces us to pay attention to these two things. If we only look at one, we're always going to be unbalanced. If we just look at Christ as King, if we just look at Palm Sunday, we'll continually butt up against the reality of sin and brokenness. And it'll create a dissonance that we just can't live with. And lots of people fall into this. Those who look at God as good in the same way that a genie is good or a fairy godmother is good fall apart because there's so much in the world that isn't and they can't bring them together. And if we only look at the passion portion, if we live our lives in Good Friday, we have no hope. Because Good Friday and Holy Saturdays are miserable days. If you enter fully into them, it's that time when there is no hope that you can see. But we live on the other side of Good Friday, as it's sometimes said. We know about Easter Sunday. And so we can pull these two together and we can say to ourselves that if Jesus himself, God incarnate, can come to earth and have the celebration of Palm Sunday, wrong-headed as some of these people were about what Jesus was, they still had that celebration. And within 4 or 5 days have the ultimate in suffering, then we too can look at our lives with clear eyes. Not ignoring the suffering that is real for us and for those around us and for millions of people throughout the world, but not looking at it from a perspective of hopelessness. Looking at it from the perspective of Easter. Palm and Passion Sunday are 2 days that are jammed together, creating a dissonance, like when you play wrong notes together. And if they never resolve, you'll go kind of crazy. But we know they'll resolve. A composer of my acquaintance once talked about Johann Sebastian Bach and said that Bach could put dissonance into his work because he knew there was an ultimate reality where dissonance is unknown, and that reality is God. We live in a dissonant time. We live in the conflict, the confusion of a loving God who is all-powerful and all-knowing, and a world in which accidents and sin happen. The confusion is part of life. We need to accept it for what it is, the reality that we now know. But we don't accept it as what will always be, because we know that Jesus rose again. We know that those followers of Jesus who misunderstood what kind of a king he was, at the end of their lives, as they entered into his presence, knew exactly what kind of a king he was then, the same way that we will when we meet Jesus, either because he comes to us or we go to him. We're left looking towards the resurrection in this Holy Week. And we're looking to it with hope. But it's not the kind of hope that you have when you hope the diagnosis is good before you know what it is. Not the trivial kind of hope that you hope your team wins before the final whistle. It's a hope that's grounded on the fundamental reality that we know Jesus came back from the dead because he loves us. That we will go to him, or he will come to us, because he loves us. That at some point the confusion will be erased. We don't know when that will be, but we know that it will. That in the same way that day follows night, that Jesus' resurrection followed his death, we know that one day, Palm Passion Sunday will no longer be the norm. And it will be Easter Sunday always. The confusion will be gone forever, not because we're ignoring it, but because it's been solved. The day is coming. It's not here yet. For these next few days in particular, we will live in the tension between those two things. But we'll live in that tension looking forward in hope. A hope grounded on the reality of Jesus himself, who loves us more than we'll ever know. Who came, who lived, who died, but who rose again. Amen.